have you ever gotten in touch with Mr. Lear or thought about
him? I haven't talked to John yet, no. I've talked to all of his friends and acquaintances and what have you, and I know an awful lot of people who've known him and flown with him and what have you. He and I just have not had an opportunity to cross paths, but he's a real straight shooter, that I can tell you. I can only tell you from what I have determined from doing a tremendous amount of reading, trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, doing a lot of talking on the telephone, and also doing some research even locally out our back door here. I would say that these individuals are probably doing to us about the same thing that we would do to a polar bear. You know, we would have, say, a dart gun with anesthesia on it, and we would shoot it at the polar bear, and the polar bear would go to sleep while we put a transmitter on it, and then we would let it go, and it would wake up 2 hours later and wonder what happened to the 2 hours of missing time, but it wouldn't be, you know, any the worse.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling these people are doing about the same thing with us.
What do you think of the future implications of this SWIR document?
Maybe get people talking, and we published that stuff to shake the tree, and it's working. There's a lot of people coming out of hiding, if you please, coming out of, especially people in the Air Force and the Armed Services who are in retirement now and who are up in years, who take the attitude of, what the hell, I'm going to tell the truth. And we're getting a lot of that.
I know what of some of these letters that you've gotten from military personnel, what are they confirming specifically?
That is essentially what we're saying is absolutely on target and correct.
Okay. Have you had any other reports of these people who have seen?
Sure. We get letters all the time. We get not only letters, but articles from other publications, and there's many, many books written on the subject. I would encourage anybody to spend some time at their local library.
During the late 40s and early 50s, the United States government had a rather high-powered but experimental system out there, and it was so high-powered that literally it would cook migrating birds.
Yeah.
If there was a flock of birds in the sky and this thing scanned the sky, it would cook the birds. Supposedly, that beam that they were experimenting with upset the systems on many of these spacecraft,
yeah.
which is rather understandable, by the way.
Yeah.
If you get into the physics of how it might work. And that's number one. Number two, anything that's made by man will crash.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you watch some of the science fiction theories like Star Trek, you know, they have their problems, and it certainly is going to happen because of the fact it's man-made.
Yeah.
Also, supposedly, some of the vehicles were offered in some kind of a bargain. You know, we can't prove that, but there are people in government who have leaked that information.
You mean the ones that are flying out there now?
Correct.
Okay.
And all I can say is we get more and more evidence every day that what we have reported has a great basis of fact. And we just simply got those articles out because we felt people needed to know about it.
The Russians are pretty open about their space stuff, you know. And they have a lot of interesting stuff that they publish that we don't pay any attention to. In other words, the Russians believe that there's a lot going on in outer space that ain't coming from planet Earth. But the U.S. of A. doesn't seem interested. You ought to see some of the Russian magazines that I've seen. Just fascinating stuff. The point I'm trying to say is now that the Japanese are in the space business, I think it's going to be more reason for the United States government to start telling us things they have held back.
What I respect Lazar about is when he gets to the end of his knowledge, he tells you so.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm sorry, I don't know anymore. And I'm not going to make anything up. Some people, however, when they get to the end of the knowledge they have, they'll confuse speculation and hypothesis with fact. And that's what we have to be very careful of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you that no matter whom it is, take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure
that as far as the phenomena goes, there's a whole lot more to it than what the government has ever told us. And I think the government has told us very little.
Exactly.
Is I don't know. I can tell you that John Lear is who he says he is. He is the son of William Lear. He is a air transport pilot. He's well respected. The people who know him like him and respect his abilities. They feel he's honest and they feel he's credible. As far as Bill Cooper goes, I can't tell you a word because I don't know the man. And I don't propose that I'm an authority. I only report the information I get, and I don't speculate. We did publish one of John's documents because we felt that it needed to be looked at by people across America, and we felt that it was suppressed. And here, if you when Pons and Fleischman discovered the situation with cold fusion, they were ridiculed. Now, I ask you, how can scientists claim to be scholars when they ridicule each other? You know, I think they have to keep an open mind.
That's because
on January 30th at 2:45 p.m., he recommended that a caller contact the Edgar Cayce Foundation for some good information about Edgar Cayce, and also mentioned that he reads New Age magazine, which he finds to be a source of good information.
Although a lot of people don't like to talk about it and they kind of laugh about it, apparently our very own United States government, CIA, thinks it's not that funny, because I got my hands on a report that they released internally last November 22nd about all the UFO activities in Russia, and apparently the people over there and the scientists are extremely concerned. So there's a lot going on. We'll learn a lot, I'm sure, as time goes on. And in the next magazine, we have an interview with Bob Lazar, who was a former United States government scientist.
The one that's called A Search for Truth. And there's five photos there.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Mears
mm-hmm.
is the fellow. And I'm looking at him, and I'm just wondering if anybody else has had the feeling that I had, that they don't look authentic to me. And I'm not a person that's saying that I don't believe in UFOs. I'm still just looking, you know?
Well, let me just say this. I cannot tell you that they are or they are not, because I was not there.
No, I understand that.
But I will tell you this. I used to be, for years and years and years, in the motion picture business.
Okay.
All right. The man has got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos. If somebody asked me to try to reproduce what the man has, okay?
Right.
I'd say $250,000.
I don't doubt it would cost from what I've seen.
Okay, now, my question is, how does a guy who is a simple farmer in Switzerland, living in the middle of nowhere, on an income of less than $500 a month, do that kind of technical creativity?
I have no answer for it, and that's a good question you have, but let me just ask you a few questions about the photos, because I know you've looked at them pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the large one where it shows the camper, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they show the saucer at the top,
mm-hmm.
it looks as though, you know, the camper's in focus, and yet when you look at the saucer, it looks like it's not in focus. It's like it's very, very close and small.
Well, that could be what's called a depth of field problem. The man has an Olympus Pen-F camera. I used to have one.
Right, I understand what you're talking about. That's why I'm questioning it.
And the Olympus Pen-F camera was not exactly the greatest camera in the world. And that's what he has. He has a half-frame Olympus Pen-F. That's what those were shot with.
Right.
And that's number one. Number two, the other problem is that he went to a company called Bar Photo in Switzerland, who made for him internegatives. They made the internegatives on an MB Hamrick printer, which I used to have one, which is known to impart that kind of a problem to the internegs, because the MB Hamrick printer has what's called a copy lens. Okay?
I'm listening.
And the minute you go through internegative stage, everything goes crazy as far as depth of field. You lose your depth of field. That's what you were looking for, is depth of field.
Right. Well, that's what seems to be missing. Yeah. I would expect more to be in focus on the saucer than what is.
You totally lose depth of field when you go through the internegative stage.
And then I go down to one other picture that's sitting where it's sitting in front of the house, and it looks awfully small there. You know, it.
Okay, there was, if you, what you need to do is you need to write to the fella out there in California.
Gary Kinder?
No. Gary Kinder.
Kinder?
Gary Kinder was commissioned by Atlantic Monthly Magazine.
Okay.
To debunk that incident.
Which magazine again?
He was commissioned by Atlantic Monthly.
Okay.
He was commissioned to debunk and to prove that all of that was false. The product of his investigation is a book called Light Years, which is available at your local bookstore, in which he says, I can't prove it's false. Now, Gary Kinder is an investigative reporter. The guy who wrote the article, and you have the article in front of you.
Right.
Okay, he's another gentleman. And there have been...
Randolph Winters.
Yeah, Randy Winters has laboratory reports of the photographs that indicate that they're not hoaxes.
Okay.
So you write to him and he'll send you the report.
I would like to see that.
Yep. But for what it's worth, the thing that's interesting is there have been other photographs taken in other publications in other parts of the world that look amazingly similar to those.
Okay.
So I can't tell you any more than that.
That's good. I just wanted to get a little bit of answers out of that.
Good. But if you hired me to hoax that, I would say $250,000. And by the way, when I was in the motion picture business, we used to have an aerial image optical camera. If you know anything about photography, you'll know that we used to have what they called a step printer, an aerial image optical step printer. And we used to do special effects for 35mm motion picture. And I'm going to tell you something, it ain't easy.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Especially in color. Black and white was a real piece of cake. You could do all kinds of stuff in black and white. But color is very difficult. And the problem of it is, with internegative, the way those internegatives were made, just for your information, is that they went from the camera negative to a master positive, from the master positive to a duplicate negative, from the duplicate negative, then they went to Type C prints, and then the Type C print is what we scanned and put into the magazine. So you've got all those generations, you lose all your depth of field.
Okay.
All right?
Appreciate it.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, bye.
Take care. What I'm telling you is, although in my opinion it's a cry and shame that people are dying of cancer after 50 years of the war on cancer, I also want you to know that, pardon the expression, but this fraud, if it is a fraud, is going to eventually come to the surface, because you got too many other countries with satellite broadcasting capabilities that are not part of the ballgame. And when information comes out, the American people literally could revolt like they did in Western Europe. I'm not suggesting that. But it's a terrible thing what's happening.
Just before I put the recorder on, he said that it's a, quote, Watergate, end quote, what's going on within the cancer establishment. By that he means the people with a vested interest in keeping secret the cures for cancer.
Who've just joined us, Mr. George Knapp is the anchor at KLAS-TV, Channel 8 in Las Vegas, Nevada. He did a two-hour special some time ago, and also seven different reports on the UFO activity around Groom Lake. As you know, we published five articles in our last magazine. I sent you a copy, did I not?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Okay, you got a chance to read it?
Sure did.
Hope I didn't misquote you.
Not at all.
Regarding UFO sightings, and it's very serious business to the Soviets. They're not laughing at all. They don't make fun of it. They don't ridicule. It's very serious business, and it's treated as scientific material. The Soviets claim they have pieces of a crashed flying saucer.
I haven't seen that report. I sure would like to, though.
I'll send you a copy. I have it. We're going to publish it in the next magazine. When I got a copy of it, I called the organization that prepared it, which is apparently part of the CIA. They were not very happy that I had it. As a matter of fact, they were very unhappy that I had it. And I said, is it classified? They said, well, no. And I said, well, I'm going to publish it. They said, well, we'd rather you wouldn't. I said, well, anyhow. Okay? But they said, well, that's only for internal use by the government. I said, wait a minute, I'm a taxpayer. I'm paying. We have a right to know. So we're going to publish it. So, you know, get a hold of your popcorn. But I understand you've got something pretty wild going on. What's with Lazar?
Well, the latest, there are a couple of developments. One is, and this is sort of goes along with what you just had to say, there's a document called the Snowbird document that has been making its circles, making its rounds in UFO circles for a number of years. No one was quite sure if it was accurate or not, but it talked about the testing of alien technology in the Nevada desert. It's my understanding, and I still haven't confirmed this, but that document has now been declassified, meaning it's a real document. Running that down could provide some confirmation for some of the things that Lazar has been saying.
By the way, when you get a chance, go to your nearby supermarket and pick up a copy of the Weekly World News. They've got a fascinating article this week about a supposed Soviet satellite photo of the surface of the moon showing a World War II bomber on the moon. Now, although that seems at first blush to be pretty crazy, I do understand that there are some fascinating photographs from satellites and from NASA that show some pretty unusual things on the moon that the public hasn't been told about.
Well, I've heard about that. You know, I haven't investigated it myself, and as you know, Chuck, when you're dealing with a field like this, there's a lot of strange things that come up, and a lot of them turn out not to be true, so you have to be kind of careful.
Well, if you get a chance, look at it. If nothing else, it'll be a great joy to you.
Okay.
Okay. The letter should be received today at NASA. It's to Admiral Richard H. Truly, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Code A, Washington, D.C., 20546. Dear Admiral Truly, this is a Freedom of Information Act request. I have attached information to acquaint you of our broadcasting and publishing activities. We make this request at the suggestion of literally thousands of our listeners who simply want to know what's going on. The UFO phenomena has been reported in the various media. Recently, the U.S. Government Foreign Broadcast Information Service released a report dated November 22, 1989, about UFO sightings in the Soviet Union. Copy is enclosed. By the way, for those of you listening, the Foreign Broadcast Information Service is a part of the CIA of the U.S. government. They did this report with your tax dollars. Getting back to the letter, I say also the Associated Press has reported the sightings and concern in Belgium and the serious comments confirming them made by the Air Force and Ministry of Defense there. Other governments of the world say we are indeed being visited, yet our government seems to desire to cover up such activities. Please let me tell you that public sentiment against that position is growing. My request here is a patriotic one. I'm proud to be an American. There is concern that serious reports from other countries will show that the U.S. government has withheld this information from citizens and taxpayers, and that could seriously damage the system of government that I love and respect. While there may have been reason to keep such data secret in the past, I feel that the time has come for all such data to be released, especially before some other nation stuns the world and makes NASA and the USA look like fools. I go on in the letter, which I'm going to publish in our next magazine, to talk about what has occurred around the world, the sightings in Russia, which were so serious that they had a week-long conference in Germany about it, satellite photos of Mars and the moon, and the other various documents, over 6,000 of them, that have been obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. And I ask these following questions. Note to son, if you would, I'm going to do this up to the break, okay, guys? Okay. All right. I understand Jim's in billing, but I'm going to do this letter here up until the break. Hang on. Okay. Here's the questions that I am asking NASA under the Freedom of Information Act, and that, as I told you, they have this letter via registered mail. I'm asking them as follows. Does NASA have any type of photographic or recorded information by any means that would indicate that the Earth has been visited by technology or beings humanoid humanoid or otherwise from any planet or galaxy? Question mark. Have NASA astronauts ever seen, photographed, recorded, or communicated an account of seeing extraterrestrial ships, probes, beings, or materials, tracings, or communications on any NASA space mission or NASA activity or report? 3, does NASA have or do you have access to any U.S. government compilation or Bible of extraterrestrial activities? If so, will you please advise the price we'll pay for same? Does NASA have any knowledge of any direct contact with humanoids from another planet or star system, such as the Zeta Reticuli system or others? And 5, does NASA have direct or indirect knowledge of either extraterrestrial craft or live or dead aliens being held at the Groom Lake, Wright-Patterson, or any other U.S.-funded installation, contractor, or military base or project? Question mark. And I go on with the letter, and there will be, like I say, there'll be a full copy of it in the next issue. We're going to find out what Admiral Richard H. Truly of NASA says in reply to this letter filed under the Freedom of Information Act. Maybe we can get a direct answer. I talked to a number of UFO researchers over the weekend, and they say this hasn't been done before. They've done it other ways, but they've never asked the boss. So we're asking the boss. We'll see what happens. The point I'm trying to say to you is they now have the CD project is going, okay?
Mm-hmm.
SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. It is now officially going this year, okay? It's a big deal. So if something was found in the past and hidden from the public or kept from the public, this is a good opportunity now to come clean.
Sure.
See, well, we've got our new big radio telescopes up, you know, and we just turned them on a month ago, and by gosh, we have found some things. See?
Sure.
See, here's the opportunity to come clean. So I'm going to be in touch with the CD office tomorrow and see what they've found so far. But this is that, and of course the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Ames, they've got a lot of information. We're going to have the Mars flyby is coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity to start coming clean is going to come out. Of course, the Japanese now, you know, they have their own satellite going around the moon.
Right.
They're liable to tell us something that NASA did.
There are a reported 40,000 devil worshippers. Last week, police in Indianapolis, Indiana, asked an unidentified priest to pray and sprinkle holy water in a house after they saw a radio, a vase, and other objects inexplicably move. They had been called to investigate a possible burglary after the resident came home and found smashed dishes, windows, lamp, eggs. A 14-year-old relative who had been staying there was believed to have been involved in devil worshiping. Exorcism is recognized in the church's book of rituals, says the Reverend Simon Harrick. And another thing that's kind of fascinating is St. Patrick's Cathedral, Cardinal John O'Connor talked quite a bit about exorcism. He also said the novel The Exorcist is a gruesomely authentic portrayal of demonic possession. So maybe it is not the stuff of nonsense when you get the folks involved from not only the church but the police who say, hey, something's funny going on here. Maybe there is something to it, a force or a power that we don't know that is at work. Don't know, but you have to keep an open mind.
Charles Redmond is my guest with NASA. Charlie, there's a book going to be released in the next couple of days by the William Morrow Organization. It's called The Gulf Breeze Sightings, where 75 photographs have undergone all kinds of computer scrutiny and what have you. Looks like there's something flying around that doesn't belong to us. Has NASA ever documented or come across anything like this?
No, we haven't, and certainly we have had spacecraft in Earth orbit for nearly 30 years that look up and down, both weather and Earth resources and astronomical instruments, plasma physics instruments, things like that. There are certainly a lot of things which we have discovered over time which perplexed us at the moment, but many of them later turned out to be such things as emanations from Soviet nuclear spacecraft reactors that we were not aware of, but other elements of the U.S. length of time.
Yeah.
And so I guess basically we would at this point say, although we are extremely interested and have been for, you know, since the, I guess, the beginning days in 58 of the agency's history, that there's nobody, no scientist or technician, certainly, within NASA who has seen convincing evidence to indicate that we have been visited or being visited, or that there is anything non-terrestrial, which is either on the planet, you know, or in Earth orbit.
How does NASA explain the sightings that people see, and then they go to where the ship or craft landed, and there's a circle burnt in the ground? You know, how do you explain that?
Well, you know, a lot of organizations, including NASA, have carried out formal investigations of UFO sightings or UFO visits or...
I'm talking about where there's landing traces, physical landing traces.
Landing traces have been examined at least up through when we formally got out of that business. We were physically inspecting with teams of geochemists, laboratory chemists, people with, you know, valid analytical tools, findings or evidence, supposed evidence of visitation, strange physical phenomena, what have you. And the best that we could come up with were such things as grass burns possibly caused by ball lightning being, you know, an unnatural phenomena, other than, you know, somebody singeing it with a chemical or physical technique. I guess what I'm saying is that we're not certainly saying that such things cannot exist. We just have not had evidence yet that satisfies us that anybody has found anything that we would believe in. And I guess our belief is going to be held pretty much to what can be shown in laboratory analysis rather than...
In other words, you want the corpse. You want the dead body in your hands.
We want the corpse. However, let me also bring to your attention a National Academy report 2 years ago, which essentially tried to scrub the insides out of psychic phenomenon. And although they could find no evidence that psychic phenomenon existed, the body of knowledge about events which had happened to people was sufficient to convince the Academy to admit that even though there was no evidence, they could not dismiss the fact that psychic phenomena could exist. And so I think we're in the same position with regard to UFOs. We haven't found any yet, but that doesn't mean that we won't. But we're going to be a little harder in what we take as evidence than a lot of people.
But you're still looking.
But then we will continue to look because, you know, not only you and I, but almost everybody must be at least as amazed to realize that we cannot possibly be the only civilization in this vast universe.
So your position is we're probably not alone and we're still going to keep looking.
We're probably not alone and we hope to find somebody else sometime.
Charlie, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. Our time is over with, and we will speak again very soon. You take care, and thank you for being with us on the Sun Radio Network.
This next segment is from March 6th again. It was actually about 10 or 15 minutes previous to the preceding segment.
Hammond, the sightings of the astronauts, their film that they brought back, in a lot of instances it's been traced to failure in the laboratory or some kind of optical phenomena associated with perhaps a thruster firing or some of them have been traced in the very early days of the Mercury and Gemini program to cosmic ray or gamma rays actually shooting through the body, in this case the head of the astronaut, producing a light flash, at least a perceived light flash. All of those instances, we have meteorites, which are picked up by farmers or other people that look peculiar. We've had instances where people have called us because something fell out of the sky that, in one instance, turned out to be material from an airplane that was dumping its waste over a part of the country. But if it seems interesting, we have chemical laboratories, materials laboratories. We're not uninterested in the topic at all. We have examined to the best degree that we think we're able, technically, whether or not the instance can be explained in normal terms, and almost all of them can be. Those that can't are just set aside and remain mysteries, and there's no reason not to have mysteries. I mean, it's a big universe.
So, would I be correct in saying that NASA has a bunch of reports on file that would be to this day mysterious?
Yes, that's correct. And And they exist in photo files in Houston. They exist in certainly written record of pilots and astronauts. And as I say, these, you know, although they may not be explained, there's no reason that humans at this point in our history should have the answers to everything. But all of these things point to this arrogance that I was talking about earlier, that this belief that certainly the astronomy community holds, that given the scale of the universe, given the fact that life appears to have developed pretty much on its own here on Earth, given the fact that we think Earth is a fairly medium, ordinary planet around a reasonably mundane star in what amounts to the outskirts or suburbs of our galaxy, that life on Earth, and a technically intelligent communicating life as we have here, cannot be exclusively just here in the universe. And that has led us to, and as I say, this thought process has been going on for 10 years, leading astronomers, biologists, and some technical individuals involved in radio communication to the conclusion that there has to be a way to determine if there are other technical societies somewhere in our local, at least galaxy, if not further out. And the answer, we think, is a fairly simple one, that a technical society...